I learned that as well.
Yes. That's Larry usually says that.
But yeah, he does.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that.
We'll fuck you later.
We'll see you later, guys. Just doesn't have the same pop to
it. No, it doesn't.
Everybody, and welcome to another edition of Comedia Go-Go's podcast, Public Access. This is Jess.
This is Regan.
Hey, where's Larry?
He's in Vegas.
He's in Vegas. We have the next best thing, filling in for Larry instead of actually filling in Larry.
Wow.
We actually have Dynamo special guest, Dino Fox.
Hi, everybody.
Multi-talented extraordinaire Dino Fox.
That's right.
Who I'll be gushing over this entire night.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
And we are happy campers because we're going to be talking about what to tonight.
We have three fantastic topics and questions. Topic number one is, what was your dumbest childhood injury? Topic number two is, have you ever witnessed someone being booed off stage, or have you ever genuinely booed a performance? And topic number three is, if you had to cross-dress as a TV or movie character, which character would you choose?
Oh boy, those sounds wonderful. And we're pleased as punch to welcome to the F-Stop our guest for tonight, appreciator of the arts, fellow podcaster, Deborah Martin. Deborah Martin, say hello.
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 How are you doing today, Deborah? Thank you for...
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing great.
We're always...
Excellent.
Please just punch.
So this is... So you two know each other, Dino
we
and Deborah.
Do.
We know
do.
Each other quite well. We yes. see each other regularly, I would
we
say.
We do. We too. Yeah.
You see him on stage quite often?
Yes. Yes.
Or we meet for coffee.
We do.
Oh,
we do.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. I would say we've... Actually, Deborah Martin knows me from a time when I didn't even have a stage name. And Deborah Martin reviewed... It was very brief. It was a little blurb. It wasn't even very in-depth. But the very first play I ever wrote called... tentatively titled Ta-Da at the Cellar Theater in San Pedro Playhouse. And I was working with two co-writers and our group was called Viva La Vulva.
Yes, I remember
Viva La Vulva.
So Julie Balderrama and Rachel Rangel and I wrote this play and it was my senior project from high school, actually.
Awesome.
So we've known each other for
a while.
Yes. You know, yes. A little back. Not way back.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
Way back.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. I'm glad I'm learning these things.
Yes.
You're learning all kinds of
so,
things.
So, how was the show? How was that
it
show?
It was fantastic. Dino is a theater genius.
Oh, I don't know.
Yes,
about
he
that,
is. Multi-talented. Yes. As we'll talk about that
a
later.
A gorgeous specimen, if I don't say so.
Oh, well, yeah. thank you.
That
I'm really
true.
Missing my boyfriend, Larry. I'm sorry. Yeah. He's not here. But these two gentlemen are looking quite delicious tonight.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They'll still be a little bit.
Trying to open a da.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
I got like all over me.
Sorry.
Goodness. And
sorry.
There's a lady present. I don't know.
Oh, goodness. Speaking of lady, Deborah, so I know you know you're constantly reviewing shows. You're constantly out there. I'm so glad that you were able to spend some time with us. What's the past few things that you've seen? What's probably one of the more interesting things you've seen in the past month or two?
Well, one of the things that actually the performance is coming up is called the Telling San Antonio. It's going to be at the Tobin October 1st to the 5th. It's a military veteran sharing their stories in their own words.
Cool.
I got to go to a rehearsal and it's amazing. It's emotional. It's kind of funny. It will make you angry. It will move you. It's amazing. People should totally go see that.
It's called
Telling San Antonio.
Telling San Antonio.
It's part of a national project. So they've done, this will be the 20th one they've done across the country.
And it's specifically soldiers from San Antonio?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. They met with the playwright. They tell their stories and he crafts them. They look over the script to make sure that it's their words. I mean,
it's not.
And then they perform it. And it's, again, the rehearsal just blew me away. And that was in a conference room, you know, it was the least theatrical space you could possibly imagine. And I think at the Tobin, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be something
that's
people
October,
will watch. October 1st through the 5th.
1st through 5th. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what's the worst show? That's going on right now.
That's going on right now.
No.
No,
but that's got to be, you know, being someone who's constantly reviewing things, you know, not everything is going to be, you know, so what is it like? You don't have to say anything specific, but what is it like when you have to sit through like a show you're kind of like, oh.
it's a long night.
Yeah.
It's a very long night. If you're watching something that isn't working, it's basically, it's a lot of work for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's work for people on the stage as well, but it's a lot of work for me. Because I have to sort of figure out, okay, what is the problem? Yeah. You know, is it, and sometimes it's me. I mean, sometimes it's sort of like, okay, wait a minute. Are you paying attention? Are you engaged? And
because yeah, that's another thing. What if you're having a really bad day and then you have to go review a show?
Exactly. Well, and that's how you know when something is really, really good.
Oh, okay.
If you've had a phenomenally awful day, yeah, and you're sitting there and within a few minutes it doesn't matter anymore.
That's
it's
true.
Like, wow, okay. And then you know it's a really, really, really bad show if you're sitting there for a few minutes like, oh my God, and you're still in your own day.
Yeah.
Then it's a really bad show.
Have you ever left or walked out? Because I don't want to get into the question about booing, but has there ever been something where you just had to just leave?
I've wanted to.
But I guess.
But yeah, you got to stay. You got to stay.
Code of ethics as a.
That's it.
As a true. Because what if it was really good at the end?
See, I know. That's yeah. And see, that's sort of my makeup is, yeah, I think, well, some, maybe, come on.
You at the end.
Maybe there'll be a song or. A lighting effect or something.
Or they'll give a free popcorn or something like that.
See, that can turn things around. I'm very fond of popcorn.
Discussion cake and champagne.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. There you go.
Free popcorn, does anybody try bribing you?
No, nobody. Not that I...
With free popcorn.
No, no one has ever bribed me with free popcorn. No.
Okay.
No.
What about money?
I think all the time. Cash. Okay. All the time. Sure. But no free popcorn.
Oh. Yeah.
I think the closest is sometimes if there's a very long line, they may come and bring me my ticket.
Oh, nice.
Which is very
great.
Nice.
That's yeah. great.
That happened once at the Josephine. It was like 9,000 degrees and there was a really long line and somebody came out and gave me my ticket and I felt a little bit badly.
Yeah.
Everyone else out there. But then I thought, well, but I'm not going to stay out here with you.
That's right. That's,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's
yeah. yeah.
People know who you are. You're very well known. And, you know, I imagine people are watching. And,
yeah.
Oh, that Deborah Martin left halfway through the show. You know,
I actually was at a production pajama game once and somebody else had reviewed it for me. So I was just there to see it. Mm. And I changed seats at intermission because I was sitting next to somebody really squirmy.
Man.
And I thought, well, you know, I am not comfortable. I'm just going to move. And somebody told the director of the theater that I had left at intermission. And it's like, well, how do I even...
Yeah.
Number one, why are they watching me?
Right.
You know, it's such a weird thing.
Yeah,
yeah, that was
the
a really
waiting for Guffman thing. You know,
yes,
where it's like
exactly.
Yeah,
everyone's like, oh, she's here.
It's a very weird. Yeah, that was sort of. It was a good reminder, though. It's sort of like when you change seats, move up. Perhaps announce to everyone, yes. I'm not going anywhere. I'm just
we're like a
just
blinking
moving.
Light necklace that
exactly.
everyone knows exactly where
exactly.
you are at all times.
Yeah,
that's so fun.
Yeah, it's a very weird thing.
Do you ever use that power of like,
no.
Do you know who I am?
No.
Let me in.
No.
For at least student admission price.
No, people will let me in. No. They want me to go.
Yeah.
Yes. No. I do not have a problem getting in.
Oh,
yeah.
Lucky.
Yeah, so, yeah. No. They please. It's more, you know, I have 9,000 things to see in a weekend. It's like, could you see one more? Could you also come to this? And it's like, do you not see the Facebook post with 11,000 things posted? When would I do that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's
like,
why we're
on.
So happy that you're here.
I'm very excited to be here.
Thank goodness there's no shows tonight.
I know.
No, it was a nice evening. Like, yeah, no shows, nothing else going on.
I was off all day.
Oh, wow.
You know? There you
nice.
Go.
Yeah. And so, Dino, what's going on in your life right now? What's new?
A lot is going on right now.
Tell us about what you did last Saturday night.
Saturday
what
did last night. Summer? What did I do last summer? Wow, last summer I released a book.
Oh, that's right.
But Saturday was Stars and Garters' latest installment of our season, and it was called Tease O'Vision, a burlesque tribute to TV's finest moments. Mm. It was funny.
It was very funny. It was so entertaining. That's what I don't know. It was very, very, I really like burlesque. And then that's what people are like, oh, you like watching sexy women. I'm like, no, there's so much entertainment value to it. And so every one of those girls, everybody, they choreograph their own thing, right?
They choreograph, they do their costuming, they do their hair, they do their makeup.
From a performance perspective, that's the most amazing thing, that each one of them is their own unique little performance that they have invested, like you said, the costume, the makeup, the hair, the songs.
Well, and traditionally, they were their own little they would call them their show. It was the show. It was that 11 to 14 minutes long, was just one routine by one performer. And it was set to a complete soundtrack with different levels and emotions, and their costumes were elaborate. They were hand beaded and sequenced. Yeah. And, you know, like with me, I sometimes just bust out the glue gun. I don't know how to sew. So, you know, we're doing our best to honor it in our way. And I think that's what's really fun. And yeah, there was everything from, you know, Three's Company. There was The Nanny. We had Carmen Sandiego.
Marge Simpson.
Wilma
Flintstone.
There was a Miss Piggy routine with six pasties. It was really fun.
That was a great way of starting things off.
There was a, you know, video by Comedia Agogo. I don't know if you've heard of them before.
Old school.
That's the Larry's job smart. Larry looked like he was 18 years old.
Yeah. He probably was.
Yeah. Before the kids ruined him.
Yeah. And also Public Access alum Hector Bohorquez had a couple of videos in there that he's done for our troupe, including our annual holiday promo for our holiday show, which is coming up November 22nd. And that is our annual holiday show, but we call it an holiday show because it covers everything from Thanksgiving to New Year's.
All a day.
So you're not sitting there seeing 20 Christmas routines.
All right.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
There's not, for those who do that, but we like to have fun.
Not Christmas, right? It's
everything. Holidays. Thanks. We have
Xmas.
Suki Jones does a character called Trisha the Turkey from Thanksgiving, but Twisha the Turkey has a really interesting speech impediment, which is really fun. We've had a Festivus routine. We have someone thinking of doing the Tres Reyes Magos. Like, we have some cool stuff coming up. I'm excited. But Wednesday night, I'm at the Heat Nightclub for Ray Lopez Entertainment Presents Latrice Royale from RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm doing two routines there. On Saturday, I head to Dallas to compete at the inaugural Latin Burlesque Festival for Best Drag Act.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Hosted by Jade Seven Estrada.
Yay, Jade. He's all right. He leaves pink feathers wherever he goes.
Yeah, he does.
Anytime we find a pink feather, we're like, Jade was here.
That's who was there. Where's Carmen San Diego?
Calling card.
Sexy Carmen San Diego. Yeah. Bravo.
Yes, that's Miss Lucky Strike from the overtime.
Real quick. So you do the thing with the fire and you put it out in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you do that, I'm scared because you have a beard. Has there ever been?
Does
it ever kind of just singe a little bit?
A little bit. And if it's not my beard, sometimes I don't know. I'm probably not supposed to be doing it with a beard. I'm sure that there are a wig with a lot of hairspray on it. But I live life on the edge.
You are such a professional. A little bit dropped on the stage and we're like, and you just put it out your foot like
in character too.
In character, absolutely.
My inner Sandra D when she put that cigarette out with her heel, that was exactly how it happened.
But each time I was like, his beard, his beard.
I don't do nearly as crazy things as many fire performers do. So it's unpredictable, and as long as you're aware of your surroundings and you are you are safe in that you have a safety towel backstage with someone ready to come help you.
Absolutely.
I practice regularly, and you know, the singeing usually happens when I'm outdoors and you can't control the wind in the space. So that has happened before. We've opened for Marilyn Manson, and it was right at dusk. So the sun was right in our eyes, and that was a little hard. And
a horrible mix of fire and blindness and wind
and a beard. And you're in heels. So your balance is a little weird. You know, it's bizarre, but it's really fun. It's it scares a lot of people. It does.
The beauty of it. That draws you in. It's very entertaining.
I don't do the fire breathing or the spinning or anything like that.
But what is that technically called? The fire
eating.
Fire eating.
Yeah,
eat some fire.
Deborah, have you ever eaten fire?
No, I have not.
All right.
No. No.
You have been invited, though, I believe.
I have been invited. No, I see too many ways that could go horribly, horribly wrong. So
we start you off with small flames.
It's essentially the size of a cotton swab.
I've had a number 10 at Thai chili, so that's kind of like eating fire, but not really.
No.
Number 10?
That's 10 is pretty. That's good.
That's pretty close, right?
Yeah. That's not the one that get the picture on the wall, though. They have, I forgot what that's called.
It's Atomic.
Whatever.
Was it too hot?
No, it was hot.
I always feel like I get... Like,
it was too hot. I was like, eh. It was still tasty, though, because it wasn't the point to where it was too hot to where you can't eat it. It was actually still edible.
I feel discriminated because they never think that I can take it. And I'm like,
I hate that. Can I just say? Yeah. And I'm like, look, you know, I know what I'm asking for. It's okay. And there's maybe one, there's one chef at Mons that does not hold back. And, you know, it's other than that, they're like, because they know that you're going to have to take it back and you're wasting food. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure some people, I guess, have, but I'm like, dude, I can handle it.
Yeah. Well, they have a disclaimer on menus. If they're going to really put heat in their stuff, it says, like, you can't, you're warned pretty much before you have it there. But actually what I found is that restaurants are extremely inconsistent, especially restaurants that have a 1 through 5 scale.
Yeah, that's
true. It's just so inconsistent. Like, I'll have a 3 one day, and like, this is what I want, and then they'll bring out like a 8 out of 5. So I was like, what did you just give me? This is, I'm sweating.
Everyone's scale is different.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's
so it feels like they should be able to give you like a little sample and just, you know, if your hair bursts into flames or something, that's too hot for you. And we will not give you the rest of it.
Though, when you're sweating by the end of it.
Yeah. Oh, well, for me, that just happens any time. Horrible sweater. It's that little tingling that I get on my lips. That's what I like.
Yeah.
After the meal.
You know, what's interesting is that that's essentially what if you do burn yourself on the inside of your mouth, or for instance, when I'm doing corporate or private gigs and I'm doing it on a loop through the whole party, it's the same taste. It's just the hair is being singed on your tongue, essentially. So it doesn't, it's not that bad. But if you do it at one time I had to do it for a San Antonio Area Foundation event for like 2 hours, and it just tastes like when you burn yourself with coffee or soup.
I just want to see at the end of the 2 hours, you're like just so jaded and done with like eating fire.
Yeah. I didn't even get the grant.
All this for nothing. Awesome. Have you ever had to review restaurants or food or anything?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well,
I'm not.
I'm just wondering if that's.
No.
Or do you ever while you're. Do you Yelp?
No, I do not. I do not. No, I don't. I don't. I don't feel compelled to Yelp.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Me neither. But
I
really
love Yelp.
Oh, I was gonna say, dude,
yes.
I love Yelp. It's so good. I love it.
Do you? You're a avid Yelper? Are you?
I try to.
What do they give you, stars, and they're like a king or something?
Yeah,
like,
you get elite status.
Elite status.
Not yet. But you actually do get some cool perks with that. I know
because
I've been asked to offer as a part of their elite Yelper stuff. Yeah, it's interesting.
I've only felt compelled to like Yelp fast food restaurants.
Like that. See, now that would be fun, actually.
Like, and people do. That's the thing is what's so funny is they do have Yelp reviews for like, it's not just Jack in the Box in general, it's Jack in the Box off Walsham.
Yeah, particular one.
Particular one. Yeah, I felt compelled to start a Yelp account that just reviews, you know, exclusively Church's Chicken.
Now, I would read those. Actually, that sounds very funny.
Well, there's a big thing. There's actually like this, and this dude went viral a while back because he's this YouTube, he's a vlogger. His name's Dame Drops. And he went viral because he video reviewed Five Guys when Five Guys went to his neighborhood or whatever. And then it was one of those things where they took his review and they auto-tuned his review because he's this large guy who's passionate about greasy burgers, and he's like, damn, he's practically singing when he's eating this burger, and that guy has like millions of subscribers, and all he does is he's with his homeboys, and they review like Little Debbie snacks and shit, and it's millions of viewers, like, the cake. It's snack cakes. It's like reviewing a Twinkie, and he's in his car all the time. And it's like, but it's I get down on that.
People
it's
can relate to it.
Yeah, hell yeah, I like it.
I use it for the opposite use, and this is totally nerdy. But if I go to a locally owned restaurant and I have a good time, I make it a point to give them a good rating to kind of spread the news about it.
Absolutely,
because I think we need more of that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with churches.
Yeah, all I do is review. All I do is review the things that I do like. Unless it's terrible, which just isn't really happened. I don't know if the last time I've placed one has been terrible, but for the most part, I only just if it's something like a really, really, like my favorite restaurants, I go to this place all the time. I like it. And,
it is a handy tool. Yeah. I was at a conference in Washington, D.C. recently. We decided to eat at this Italian restaurant. And it was my my boss was like, oh, she just wanted something simple, spaghetti and meatballs. We go. We had awful, bad food, bad service. I was like, you know what? Probably should have looked it up. Look up on Yelp. It got like 1 star. Oh. And the profile picture was a dude giving the finger. to the restaurant. And I was like, yep, should have yelped this before we ate here. And he's like, I should have just got chips at the bar next door. It would have been better than eating here. I was like, oh, man. So, yeah, it doesn't come in handy.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, well, Dina.
The combination of Deborah and Gino. Dina.
As we are known.
Yes. Oh, yes. That's our hashtag.
Yes.
Dina's out tonight. Thank you both for coming here tonight. Thank you both for being here on Public Access. Yes. And we're going to get things started with Jess's topic.
Okay. Time for my weekly segment. Yeah, I'm looking to that. It's a segment where I talk about the latest in movies and games, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of listeners and friends would be, hey, yeah, I'm looking at that. So this week's topic inspiring movie is this upcoming movie called Cub, and it is a Belgium movie. It is a small movie. It was crowdfunded. It's called Cub. It's not what you think, Dino.
I was like, Dino, I perked up a little bit.
I did pick it because of the title, I'm not going to lie. I thought Dino would like the title. But it's actually, it is a Belgian movie. It was a small horror film, and it is about a group of Cub Scouts out in the woods, and the main character is this young, very imaginative boy, and it's essentially a classic tale of the boy who cried wolf type of thing. This kid who's like basically pulling pranks on his fellow troop, he gets reprimanded, you know, and, you know, kind of put aside. And then what really happens is that he sees this wild feral child in the woods, like a little like wolf boy almost. And after he pranks his troop, they don't believe that he actually saw him. And so it turns out that this wolf child is actually like the assistant of another deadly force, a very dark prowler. And so it goes from a nice excursion with these Cub Scouts and just turns to straight backwards horror, where these Cub Scouts are basically like picked off one by one.
So the little kids are getting murdered?
Wow, nice. Yeah. That's got to be overseas.
That's not an American thing.
That's essentially the premise. And right now it's doing the festival circuits. It was at Toronto International, and it was a fantastic fest this past weekend. I've been reading a lot of people really enjoying it. Like, they love when the kids get picked off one by one, apparently, in the woods in a very horrific way. But, you know, they're saying it's really dark, but also just sharp, very fast-paced, very funny, and just it seemed right up my alley. I love backwards horror films, and it just looked really cool. So Cub, it's a Belgian movie. Now, this reminded me of when I was in Cub Scouts. I was in Cub Scouts. I got to Weeblo status, because it's 4 badges. You get to be a wolf, and then you get to be a bear, a tiger, and the last one was called Weeblo, which stands for, I don't remember. It looks like a corn. That's all I remember. It's a corn badge. And
how do you spell Weeblo?
It's E-W-E-E-B-L-O. It is what it is.
I just want to know what a Weeblo is.
Yeah, it stands for something. Whatever.
Weeblos is an acronym meaning will be loyal scouts.
There you go. That's what it was.
That's very sweet.
That's what it was.
It's actually just not even a thing. Well, this whole time I thought there was it's like a marmot or like some sort of weird
like an actual animal. No, because that's the thing. It never made sense to me. I felt gypped that you would be a wolf, a bear, a tiger. Like, what's the last badass animal? It's a fucking husk of corn. Oh. Get the fuck out of here. I want an animal.
Yeah, that is a very kind of like,
yeah,
it's a fleur de lis.
Yeah, it really is.
That's
of
true.
Corn.
Yeah. And then when you graduate Cub Scouts, that's when you, or, you know, depending on your age, you would just jump into Boy Scouts. But Cub Scouts was for the little kids, so they can kind of, you know, age into Boy Scouts. I just took it to Cub Scouts, and then I got interested in whatever else interesting, tap dancing or whatever.
It's a blue W at the bottom of the corn husk.
Yikes. Well, anyways, it reminded me when I was in Cub Scouts, and the thing that earned my wolf badge is that I had There's this, you know, ritual that every Cub Scout goes through, and it's whittling your own car. I don't know if they still do this. This was, you know, forever ago.
This is back in the 60s.
Yeah, this was back in 1950 when you drank soda pop from the can and it had the little aluminum top you'd cut your finger on. Speaking of cutting fingers, I was whittling this block of wood, and I nicked myself. I have a little scar right here on my hand, and it was one of those, like whittling wood, flick. I was like, I cut myself, and I held it up, and then they just started to do this geyser of blood and squirting everywhere, and then I freaked out. My parents freaked out. I took them and got stitches. Now, the movie Cub inspired that memory, and that memory that memory inspires the topic, because that was a really dumb thing for me to do. It inspires the topic, because I don't know what kind of topic you can pull from a film of children being murdered in the woods. Like, what's your favorite time children are murdered in the woods? I was like, let's not go dark.
I'm glad you went a different way.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't know. I have some great stories.
So, about children getting... My little Nick accident cutting me inspires the topic, what is the dumbest childhood injury you have? Now, cutting yourself whittling a block of wood would seem like the dumbest thing, but it is not. So the dumbest injury I actually got was the time I was trying to break dance.
And I was trying There you go. Done and done. That's all I got to say.
I was trying to break dance, and this was after I had cut myself. It was maybe, I don't know, half a year after I cut myself in there. I would say I was probably 6 or 7.
Okay.
6 or 7, or maybe between 7 and 8. I cut myself whittling the block of wood. So I was still a Cub Scout. I was still supposed to be smart.
Yeah.
And I was smart. I had, you know, like I was getting good grades in elementary school. But here I am trying to break dance on just straight up asphalt, not even flat ground. Because, you know, when you're break dance, you're supposed to put cardboard or flat ground. I didn't know. I thought you just headstand on asphalt on the street.
Do you remember where the inspiration to break dance came from?
Yeah, absolutely. I really, really do. It was actually, and this is dumb because this connection doesn't make any sense. It was actually the film Rad. Rad is a movie about BMX biking where they did stunts, but I think there's a part where there's breakdancers in it, and I liked what they're doing, I knew what breakdancing was, but specifically, like, and I'm not lying, that movie Rad, I think, is what it was. So I try to do, you know, first I'm just rolling around on asphalt. I don't know if only there was, I was by myself doing this. I'm glad there was no one else who saw this. So I was by myself rolling around in asphalt. And then I tried to do this maneuver where, you know, you stand on your hand and you're spinning around. I thought I was doing some, like, you know.
This is definitely something that if it happened today would be viral video.
Oh, like, yeah. This is like Star Wars kid
instantly.
Type of instantly. So I did this thing where I tried to stand on one hand and spin around. And I just, when I planted my hand down, I straight up planted my hand on this broken piece of like 7-Up bottle.
Oh.
I just kind of span my hand and I cut myself and I have this little scar. It's very tiny.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's very, very, very tiny on my hand, but that's
a weird point.
Right there.
I don't see anything.
Yeah, it
happened a while ago.
So. It happened forever ago, but it was enough to actually leave this tiny scar from trying to break dance, and I did never, ever, ever told my parents that it happened, because I had already went to the clinic cutting whittling wood, and this was far more dumb than that.
Yeah.
And I basically, like, had my hand, I band-aided it myself and toilet papered my hand and put alcohol on that stuff. I treated it myself, learning my skills from Cub Scouting. And it healed on its own. So yes, the dumbest injury was trying to break dance, inspired by the film Rad. Starring Talia Shire. So, yeah.
Either of you two like to share?
It was also a hand injury. I was in class. I'm assuming I was bored, so I'm assuming math was involved, and jammed a pencil in my hand, just in the palm.
Nah.
Inexplicably, I don't know how that happened. Had to go to the nurse, and she had to remove it, and yeah.
Just jammed it in your
hand?
Yeah,
just sort of, yeah.
Did you angry at yourself?
I have no idea.
Was this senior year?
No. I was about the same age. It's like about seven, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Did it leave a piece of pencil?
No, it didn't. I don't think it went real deep. It just went enough so that it sort of stood.
Do we all have? Is that? Look, I have the same thing.
Maybe everybody at some point.
We're lead brothers.
Oh my gosh. That is crazy.
That is exactly what that was. Weird, stupid. Yeah.
Maybe that's just a rite of passage for kids, is like getting a piece of lead stuck in your hand.
Mine was the pencil was in my pocket, sharp as hell. And then when you're just playing, and then I jabbed. So it went through my pants into my hand, and it broke. And then, that's been there. That has been there ever since.
That is so weird.
Do you remember how you did yours? It had to have been the same thing, or reaching into my backpack or something, and it just went right through my hand. And the stain was
there.
That
is a really weird
thing. Then I had my palm read once, and this woman told me that this meant that I was at a high risk of getting prostate cancer when I was in my 30s.
Stabbing yourself with a pencil?
I don't know that she knew that's how I got that spot.
Oh, Jesus. Maybe it is. Larry Jess.
I'm going to cut. I've written a story. I remember a short story. In high school, about someone who was obsessed about that, and he couldn't. Every time he cut himself to pry it open, it never came out. Ooh. But the thing never. It was like one of those dumb. That's he kept dark. Cutting himself, and it was a story that went nowhere. I don't know. Yeah,
it's dark.
Yeah. Dude. I was the most clumsy, really stupid kid. Yeah, I was the. I have so many, but I mean, I think the funniest one. Do you remember when we were younger? Well, so there were these little rubber round domes that you would flip upside down and put on the table and it would pop.
Wait a second.
Yes. When we were young, they didn't have the little hole drilled on the top of it, which I think they figured out later after kids like me got bored while watching television and decided to stick two of them to my forehead.
Nice.
As I'm just laying there watching, I don't know, Are You Afraid of the Dark or something, and I have... and they just wouldn't come off. And I don't know if it's because I'm a sweaty person. I don't know what it was, but it stuck to the point to where when we finally got them off, there were these two giant red marks on my forehead that are actually present in our group photo, which was taken the next morning. So there's actual photo documentation of this incident. I have it. No, my mom has scrapbooks. Trust me, I can find that.
Please find
easily,
that.
But I have two red marks on my forehead for that.
Mark of the Beast, this child.
Yeah, that was the dumbest. And then, I have a cousin who is also a local actress, Julie Ponce, who we grew up in a welding shop together. And so my uncle had these dollies that he would use to move the heliarc tanks, the helium tanks. And I would always put her on it and run her around that was our way of playing. That's fun, so she said, I'm strong. I promise you, I will not drop you. So of course, I've always been a fat kid, always just dealing with it. She's half my size and she's like, no, I promise you, I'm a lot stronger than you think
I am.
Plus,
it's a dolly. It gives her leverage.
She's like, we can do this. So the moment that she feels the weight, she panics and just lets go. And as I go to brace my fall on the ground, I put my hand out and I snapped my wrist, and on top of that, because I was a fat kid, they had to wait for the swelling to go down to be able to x-ray it. And so I had a splint, and then I got a bright blue cast. So I felt better. And I won every tetherball match until I got that cast taken off. Yeah. So silver lining,
Yeah. Ouch. Gosh, I was afraid you're going to say with those dolly things, I'm always afraid of running into somebody's ankles.
That's
terrifying to me.
Yep.
Mine, 6 years old, probably summer. I usually spent the summers at my grandma's house, and my grandma was just a grandma. I was like, hey, do whatever you want. She lives on the south side off of Flores. And, I decided to catch bees. She had a lot of bees on honeysuckles that are all on the back fence. And what better thing to catch bees than a glass jar, a big glass mason jar. Mm. So
were you Huckleberry Finn?
I've loved insects my whole life. I'm a big fan. I like insects. I've always liked them. And what I would do is, you just poke a couple holes, unscrew the cap, go up to the flower, boom, snap, catch them in the thing. So I had, a bunch, probably 15, 20 bees, I would just open it quickly and snatch them. And I had this one, I remember I had a green bee, like a sparkling green bee. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. So I'm running around, loving this jar full of bees. And I walked up the porch and I was just looking at them. I walk down the porch and I trip and fall. and I fall flat on my face, smashing right in front of my face a jar full of angry bees. I'm like, you know, what the heck? And it's smashed in front of me, bees flying everywhere. I'm in shock probably for a few seconds, and I don't get bit. And I'm like, awesome, holy cow, wow, that was really dangerous. I do the thing, I'm feeling okay, I'm doing all right. I'm still laying on my stomach, but I'm like, all right, the bees are all gone.
You didn't cut your face from the smash.
Cut on my face, looked at my left hand fine, look at my right hand, and there's still a scar right here. You can see.
There it is.
It is about an inch long on my adult arm.
Yeah.
It was nearly almost like across my entire wrist as a child. So I look on my left thing, I'm fine. And mind you, I wasn't hurting at this point.
Yeah.
Look at my right hand, it's gushing blood, and immediately I start screaming and hollering because now it hurts that I can see blood. So angry bees, broken glass, bleeding out of my wrist. My poor grandma comes outside, and I can imagine looking back like how terrifying that must have been to see some, you know, like, stupid kid, what are you doing? And then poor her, because what's funny is my mom's a grandma now, and my nephew cut his chin one day, and she felt really bad. She's like, oh, they're never going to let him come and spend time with me again, because she felt bad as a grandma. I was like, Mom, do you remember when I busted a jar full of bees and you still let me go back the next day to, like, spend time with grandma? I was like,
everyone needs a babysitter.
I was like, we're boys. Yeah. Like, boys are going to do stupid things. We're going to cut ourselves. So, yeah. Jar full of angry bees.
God, that's
falling
awesome.
On a jar.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah, that was really glad when you asked this question. I was like, I got my answer. Like, this is an easy one.
That's beautiful. What about the Facebooks?
All right, Facebooks. Corey Dorsey says, skateboarding off a large hill in fourth grade and ending up tearing half my face off when I decided to use my cheekbone as a break.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. That's a good strategy. I like that.
Puddles and Poetry Shaggy says, that tetherball trick that did not go so well. Hashtag The Sopranos. Is anybody, I don't know, I don't get that.
It's the second tetherball reference of the
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He did not have a brace on, or he didn't have a cast. Bill Reich says, in order to climb the giant pecan tree in our backyard, I made a grappling hook out of a deer horn and rope I found in my dad's shed. After the third attempt to catch the branch, it fell and cut my head open pretty good. Yeah, that's stupid.
With a deer horn and a rope.
Deer horn.
That's cool sounding, though. Yeah, like, no, as a kid, I can imagine that.
Yeah.
Grappling hook. Stacy Medina says, when I was 8 years old, my night to wash dishes was drawing a large knife and wiped it with the blade facing my palm. Blood everywhere.
Yeah.
James Wells says, I cut my finger to the bone trying to open a Capri Sun with a huge serrated knife.
God, I could see doing that too. God. I could see doing that, totally.
What's funny is I haven't cut myself doing that, but I used to throw Capri Suns in the freezer, and then I'd cut the tops off, and then scoop it with a spoon for a frozen treat.
Yeah,
so I can see that happening.
The serrated knife was always the go-to. Solved everything.
Oh, man. Multi-purpose. James Wells also said, I once rode on a swing facing down to simulate flight. Mm-hmm. In hindsight, I probably should have stopped right after scraping half of my face off the ground. Oh, my goodness. Brian Medina says, I fell off the back of a moving car, got amnesia, listened to my favorite tapes for the first time. Oh, that's another thing. That's bringing back memories.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the drive-in theater in my parents' station wagon with the hatch open. I thought as a kid, you can just stand on the hatch. We were watching the movies on the top of the car, stepped on it, collapsed, ruined everybody's movie night. Busted my head open. Man, I'm dumb. Richard Morgan says, I found my dad's set of darts once when I was about 6. I was fascinated by the way they were weighted, so if I threw one up, it would always point straight down when it fell. I was throwing a dart as high as I could to see if I could get it to stick to the ceiling. I was eventually successful. I looked up at this dart in the ceiling and watched it, and it slipped back out, flipped 180 degrees, and came plummeting straight down into my knee, right behind the kneecap. So I sat there with the dart sticking up out of my knee like an arrow and calmly called my dad to come pull it out. I have never had a reflex in my left knee since.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, and Jessica Michelle says, I saw my mom peeling the skin off an apple once so I could eat it. I guess I didn't like the skin. She was using a pocket knife, pulling with the index finger towards a thumb, guiding the apple. I told her I wanted to try it. She told me no and that I would cut myself. Apparently, I was an a-hole kid and said, no, I want to try it. I'm not going to cut myself. I was like, she's not that smart. So she laughed and said, fine, here. And within 5 seconds, I cut myself.
Yeah.
Then she took the apple and the knife and said, I told you, haha. And then we tended to the cut.
Yep.
Man, kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Kids are stupid.
Jay LaFar.
Oh, yeah, Jay LaFar. When I was 12, we were climbing over a barbed wire fence, and I slipped and punctured my scrote.
Oh!
Oh,
gosh. My parents were away, and when I told my babysitter, she said, what do you want me to do, kiss him? Had to get a tennis shot.
That got awkward.
That's a terrible babysitter.
Yeah, it is. Had to get a tetanus shot for my balls. That's not fun.
Did it happen in the woods?
Yeah, exactly.
I have a couple here.
Nice.
Adam Munoz said, stabbed my left hand with a knife because as a little fat kid, I would get home and melt cubes of cheddar cheese in a bowl. My favorite part was the crusty edges that stuck to the bowl.
Yes.
One was super stuck, so I grabbed a knife to chip it away. Mm-hmm. I did, and stabbed my left hand that was still holding the bowl. Jen Wang said, for some reason, my dad decided to let my friends and I drive around in his golf cart. Three kids were in the seats. Two sat where you would put the golf clubs. Not wanting to miss out on the fun, I decided that I would just hang off the back, perched above the covering of one of the wheels. It worked until our 11-year-old made a sharp turn. I couldn't hang on and wound up hitting the dirt, scraping my knee and my right shoulder, which everyone decided to pat, asking me if I was okay. And my aunt April Medina says, a star-shaped scrape on my forehead after being kicked by a preschool classmate that was swinging on the swings. I passed by thinking they would be considerate enough to stop in motion. Scar is now on my hairline.
Scar on the hairline. That reminds me of my brother. I have a scar on my hairline. He has the identical one for this was. Does anybody have a the dangerous piñata experience? Oh, my brother got smashed on the head trying to get one little peppermint candy.
Yeah.
Smash his head open.
You for peppermint though?
Yeah, for peppermint. Yeah.
I do.
He didn't know.
Snickers.
I think he just saw it. I think he just saw the candy drop, went for it. My other cousin smashed him in the head and then he didn't know it was just a peppermint. It was the
worst one. Disappointing.
Yes. Nobody cares about the peppermint. So, Cub Scouts.
Yeah, Cub is what the movie's called, or Whelp is what it's called in Belgium. Cub is what it'd be called in America. It hasn't been picked up by a distributor yet, but I think it just premiered like the beginning of this month, so it's gonna get picked up with, I think, of a lot of feedback that people are really enjoying it. So I'm gonna look into that. No topic about kids murdered stuff. Like, this is kind of a weird thing, but I'm gonna look into that.
Alrighty, so now we'll go to my topic, which is called Hey, That's Not Funny, where I talk about stuff that's not very funny, like science and whatnot and politics. Today, we're just going to not really talking about politics, but saw a fun little story about Ted Cruz getting booed off stage at a Christian's gathering. good old Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz.
Big fan. Big fan, Deborah?
No.
Why not? He's awesome. He's from Texas.
Yeah, he's Larry's running mate.
Yeah,
Larry. Cruz Garza 2016.
Yeah, they hold many of the same ideals.
Yeah.
Well, apparently last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, Senator Ted Cruz was just making some comments about Christians having no greater ally than Israel, which is fantastic. but then he was heckled. This was the thing that he was actually called to do a speech at, and he was heckled, apparently. He was the keynote speaker. This was in Washington, D.C. at a dinner sponsored by In Defense of Christians, because they need defense. It's a new organization spearheaded by Catholic and Orthodox Christians. It prompted boos and cries of stop it, enough, and no. These are in quotes. Stop it.
Stop it.
Enough and no.
He got shouted out like a kid trying to like reach for the cookie jar.
Stop. No. Enough. That's enough, Ted. What did we tell you? So apparently, he put, I think the thing that kind of set him off was he said, those who hate Jews hate Christians. Cruz said to the crowd, if those in this room will not recognize that, my heart weeps. If you hate Jewish people, you're not reflecting the teachings of Christ. Anyway, he goes on, people get really mad. I just thought it was funny. To get booed at a thing that you're the keynote speaker of.
Yeah. You were asked to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were looking for
paid
you
to be there.
Yeah. 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 Probably a lot.
A lot. Maybe it was just a big setup. Like they just wanted to, let's pay him a lot of money so we can boo him off stage.
Yeah, it would be worth it.
Okay. Well, that I could see that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be worth it just to see
enough!
Him.
Enough!
Stop it! No!
No!
That's the best one. No!
No! Did they swap his nose with a rolled up newspaper?
No!
No!
Ted, no! So it just led me, brought me to my question, which is, I just thought it'd be fun, especially with you being our guest, Deborah. You know, you've seen many, many, you know, different shows. You've, reviewed many. You've sat in the audience of countless amount of shows.
Yes.
So the question I had today was, have you ever witnessed someone being booed off stage, or have you ever genuinely booed at a performance?
See, you're going to be very disappointed. I have never seen.
Really?
That. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I think in theater though, like for plays.
Okay.
I mean, I think the audience is rooting for the actors to do well, and even when things don't go well, you know, when things go off the rails, I think that there's this sympathy thing, and it's like, oh man, you know, like if an actor, I a couple of times, like an actor will go off and like they can't. It's like they lose their place, and it's it's the worst thing to watch. I mean, it's just, it's awful. And you can hear everybody kind of, everybody sort of stops breathing for the actor, and it's awful to watch, but people don't boo at things in general. You know,
They're not throwing popcorn and the melodrama style.
No, even if it's, I think it's more what I see is the opposite, which is sort of applause inflation. You know, it's like if people are, you know, it's sort of like the audience responds in this sort of crazy enthusiastic way. And I'm thinking, well, okay. It's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. Are we shut-ins? What is with the berserk response, you know, the cheering and the... It's like, it's okay.
it's not that good.
Exactly. That's, you can applaud. I mean, let's support what they're doing. That's fine. But I... Woo! No. This is... No.
Do you ever woo?
No. Well... Oh my! I probably have.
Yeah.
Ooh, no! But only in appropriate ways. Only in appropriate things. Yes. Dino Fox on stage.
Yes.
There you go.
That's a woo.
That's a woo. This man is a woo.
Many woo moments.
That's right.
Have you ever seen a show just stop? Like they were there, like because you said, like if an actor walks off stage, has the show, like you know, the show must go on. Has it ever not gone on?
I've never seen anything not go on. Wow. That's a good question.
Yeah,
I've seen actors sort of go off, and it's you can sort of see like actors sort of eventually step in and try to help them through this scene. Oh, mom, did you mean to say this? And to try to feed them
in the middle of Hamlet.
Exactly.
Hey, mom.
That happens, but I don't think I've ever seen anything just stop.
Okay. Because of the sheer amount of shows that I know you've seen. Like, I'm sure you've seen most everything that could ever happen, you know, on a stage.
Things go on. I mean, they, you know, if you're in a show, I saw Rocky Horror a few years ago where the guy who played Frankenfurter, I guess did he snap his ankle? He's on the heels, but it was near the end of the show. And I guess there's that adrenaline. And he just went, like, he finished the show, and then that was his last performance. I mean, he just couldn't
do it after that. Has anybody brought a script on stage?
Yeah, I have seen it. But they usually, it's when if somebody had to step in.
Oh, okay.
Like, really super, super late. Like
an hour before.
Exactly. Then, and they'll usually announce that. Okay. It's sort of like, okay, look, if they don't announce it from the stage, they at least will take me aside. Hey, this is what's going on. If you could just. It's not happened real often.
Often? Oh, my gosh.
Almost never.
To me, that's just a great setup for a whole, like, a show, like a sketch idea. Just like, sorry, but this one character who, like, plays an integral role has to have, like, the script on him the whole time and be really dramatic.
Very Plan 9 type of thing. It's supposed to be reading this document, but it's obviously the script.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. That just doesn't... I've not seen... So, no, but in comedy clubs... I mean, have you seen booing or like a hostile reaction?
There's definitely heckling that happens, usually in the comedy clubs, I've never witnessed it get that bad. Usually there's a couple of hecklers and then the management will step in and then they're like, hey, can you please stop it? You know, or if the comedian's good and knows what he's doing, he'll destroy the person and get them to stop. So usually it never ends up being that bad.
Yeah.
But you do see shows that definitely get derailed because of hecklers. And then they just kind of, like, sometimes the comic will spend too much time going after the heckler, and then the show just becomes about them too, and then everyone else kind of
and
just
it ruins the mood of the comedian. The comedian becomes volatile, where they might have had a better mood, and then their set is more aggressive, and they take it out on the audience as opposed to, you know, that's happened. I've seen that happen before for sure.
Oof.
Yeah.
As far as me, witnessing someone booing off stage, the beauty is our last guest we just had was Shaggy, which was the poetry slam, Puto Slam Poetry. I mean, that's if you ever want to see heckling and people getting booed.
That's a staple. Seeing some, you get,
like, people get booed quite often on stage. I didn't actually boo someone off stage, but one time I just remember there was this one poet who's incredibly arrogant. And I forgot what he said, but he set me off. And this was back in the Sam's Burger Joint days.
Mm-hmm,
and I was just sitting at the back, and I have a very loud voice. I can project very well. And I just stood up, sort of on a stool, to where I was kind of not on top of the stool, but just so I can hear. And I just started clapping and laughing and going, yes, you are the greatest, sir. You are the greatest. You are the best poet I've ever seen. Like, literally talking loud as I can over him
on a microphone. The point
where he was just frustrating him and upsetting him and getting him mad. And that was my way of heckling him, was by to say that he was the greatest, because he was so arrogant. And I just totally ruined his entire poem, which is kind of the point
of
it.
Yeah. The slams, that's what it's all about. They're very notorious for calling for that behavior. That's what gives it the reputation it is. Yeah, for sure.
But, I was kind of a jerk, but I didn't exactly boo him off stage, but I definitely...
That was that guy's moment to shine, and you stole that from him.
I crushed his spirit, is what I did.
Rightfully so.
Some spirits may need that. That's,
exactly.
You know,
it's called humility.
That's true.
I destroyed him. It was kind of nice.
Yeah.
But it was just one of those things, and like he says, there's a reputation at Puto Slam that, you know, you can get hurt.
The thing that I liked, or the thing I've witnessed, is the not so much the crowd boo the performance, but they boo the thing that sets off the performance. And the thing that I remember is my favorite thing in terms of booing that I saw Megadeth play a acoustic thing at White Rabbit. It was for a CD release party. And they didn't do, there was like a little intimate show. It was only for certain people who won the contest plus certain invitation and whatever, and a friend of mine was an intern, so I got to go see him. It's one of my favorite bands, and I was like super excited to see this acoustic performance. And so they're playing, and like any show that involves an artist or a group that's performed for like over 15-20 years, there's always going to be someone calling to have them play their favorite song. So this drunk guy in the back was just shouting,
"Play Hotel California!
Hangar 18! Hangar 18!" And just random, you know, pulling teeth and like songs that they didn't even play, like just being a smartass. And the crowd actually was going volatile on this guy before it got, like, they were already like telling him to shut up. There was already people telling, "Shut up! Shut up!" Like, they were like yelling at him.
No, stop it.
No, stop it.
Enough.
Enough. And eventually it got to the point to where after like one song, Dave Mustaine, who has he's got a reputation for getting agitated at audiences and essentially pretty much being a bitch, like on stage, like he's very like, "This is my show and I do it the way I want to." Well, he really like ripped into this guy and stopped the show. And he had said, "Listen here, you motherfucker, this isn't karaoke club. I play what I want. I came here to play for my friends and you're no friend of mine. You're a fucking asshole. You need to get the fuck out." And the crowd is just going total apeshit. And the guy was like talking, and then he was trying to like yell back at him, but the moment he started to yell back at him, the entire crowd was boo! Like they were booing this dude. And so it was, I've never seen a crowd boo a performance, but I saw a crowd boo like one dude.
Nice.
That is awesome.
Yeah, they booed a dude. And then he was like, "Security, you need to get him out of here. This show's for my friends, not for assholes. You need to get that asshole out of here." And they took that guy. And as they're dragging him out, the song that he kept on asking him to play, they started to play it. Amazing. They started to play it just to spite him.
Oh, that's really
good.
It
was fucking awesome. It was really, really cool. But that's, yeah, I've never seen... Because it's like you said, the people really don't... Whoever you're seeing has to do something extraordinarily horrible for you to boo. And I guess it has to do with, like, tastes of music or, you know...
Yeah.
I guess I've never been to a show where the artist has ego or, you know, are full of themselves where they come out and do a set. Like, the booing happens when you pay, like, $100 and they come out and do a 15-minute show and leave.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so I've never seen that with my own eyes, so, yeah.
I've had to deal with hecklers quite a bit. I actually have certain gigs because the producer saw how I handled hecklers. And it's just
nice.
It's quite common because as an MC, I'm having a dialogue. It's something that the audience is very much a part of. It's not me just coming out and our next performer.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
We're talking about things that I, you know they want to talk about. And it has, it depends on how heavy the bartenders are pouring because they sometimes get too comfortable because they're drunker than they normally are. And so they start to, so when I'm on stage, you throw anything at me and I'm going to respond very quickly. Yeah. But it's when they continue it once I'm off stage and a performer is trying to perform. So I've had to address that before. And, you know, sometimes there's just that one drunk girl that tries really hard to interact with me and having to squash that very quickly is, it's funny. It's really interesting how that happens. But when I have a microphone in my hand, I recognize the power that I have. And so it's something that I don't take for granted, but that I use very quickly because they can hear me. They oftentimes can't hear what's going on. And I'm a loudmouth bitch. So I'll tell you to shut the fuck up really quickly in a pair of heels, you know, and what are you going to do at that point? You know, it's been rare that I think twice someone has had to be removed after I try to calm everyone down. One was the guy was schizophrenic and was having an episode.
Oh, wow.
And then
that's a good one.
And the other one, it went south very quickly, but you know.
I think that's the toughest heckler is the super drunk doesn't even get it heckler. Like those are the worst ones is where, you know, like you can make fun of them as much as you want. You can humiliate them and just, but they won't get it because they're not even listening. Just drunk saying their stuff. Though that to me is always
the worst. All the hecklers we've had, we've just incorporated them into the whatever sketch we're doing. That's always easy for us because we're not doing a set. We're performing something, but we're able to kind of, okay, if they're saying this particular thing, we can incorporate into what we're saying, and it just squashes that.
And it's the crowd fully scripted, we can still
loves that, you know.
Improvise.
Yeah. Right. That's nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Let's see, we have some answers from Facebook. Shaggy from Poodle Slam says, I've seen many people booed off stage, but my favorite booing incident occurred when I saw Cracker, the band, booed when they opened for Primus. How did Cracker respond? Playing the same song for 45 minutes. An epic middle finger.
Oh, that's lovely.
Hashtag when Barrington starts to rise again.
That's awesome.
Yes, that's pretty awesome. But see, that's maybe one of the reasons is the why is this band opening for this band sort of. I can see people getting booed definitely.
Yeah.
From or just people leaving.
Yeah, exactly.
When that happens. Stacey Medina says went to see Manchester Orchestra in Austin a few years ago. Andy Hull was drunk and his performance was sloppy. A few people booed. They didn't stop playing, but he did bitch about being booed. So I guess there's times where the performance doesn't live up to what you want. That was recent. Somebody else was talking about somebody like just doing a really terrible performance. I can't remember. Sorry. Richard Morgan says, I saw a guy doing stand-up at Luna once. He did the first half of his routine in Spanish, then switched to English when he couldn't think of the right words. He started getting heckled by the audience, then got booed off so bad that he ran out of there and sprinted across the street.
Oh, God.
Said, ask Joel about it. He was there, too.
Oh, shit.
Wow. That's weird.
It was Joel.
Was it Joel? It sounds like something he would do. Try to start off something in Spanish. Brian Benitez just said no. He's never seen it.
It's a rarity.
It's a rarity.
It's good to know, though. As a performer, it's good to know because I think if you're paying money to be there,
right,
you're not going to be the one that ruins the night. Yeah.
And yet people do behave badly. They don't necessarily boo, but they talk and they.
Oh yeah,
they're
yeah.
so incredibly obnoxious. They're just obnoxious in a smaller scale.
Now, does that ever happen? Really, at the theater in the theater setting, it really does.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's maddening. It's stunning to me that you would spend the money and get in your car and drive somewhere, and that you. Just can't shut up for an hour or whatever.
Yeah, that's really that sucks. Like in the comedy club. Yeah, that's. I mean, I can just.
How about movie wise? Because I'll never let it down. But we went to go with that midnight screening to see House of a Thousand Corpses because Larry wanted to go see it, and the audience, like, it was midnight. There's no one there to receive the booing, but the crowd booed the movie.
Yeah, we booed the movie.
We booed the movie, but, like, the crowd, because the movie ends with the words, "the end," question mark, and we used to joke about how that's a really shitty, lame way to end a movie, and this movie did it, and we were like, "the end."
Seriously
did it. And I was like, if a question mark pops up, I'm booing. I think we said that. That question mark popped up, and I went, "boo!" Boo! And the audience was like, "boo!" Like I said, but it's fun. No one's there to hear you boo. It's so funny to have that happen.
And
in
there
movie.
Are also movies where people will applaud at the end of it. And that's also
sort of that happen all the time.
Yeah,
like, well,
exactly.
Okay, I mean that's very nice. But what is that for?
I don't know. So, yeah,
we all like camaraderie.
Yeah. We liked it.
Yeah, because I'll do that. I'll do that in a movie that I remember like seeing that movie Bug, Willie Friedkin's movie. It was based off a play, and the whole thing was it wasn't on the surface. It was about this paranoid couple, and the movie ends so ambiguously, and it was advertised as a horror film, but it wasn't a horror film, and it was this full packed out crowd, and then the movie ended, and I stood up, I was like, fuck yeah, like, because the ending was so I liked it. I actually enjoyed it, and you can hear everybody not enjoying it, but I stood up, I was like, yes, fuck yes, fuck yes, hell yeah, like I was so stoked about it, and everyone else was like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. Boo. Yeah,
enough. So,
yeah, that's a good enough. Yeah, stop. Enough. Yes.
In Dreamgirls, the crowd responded like they were watching theater, and I thought that was really interesting.
That's kind of cool.
At the end of it, I'm telling you, I'm not going. It was like the show-stopping number. Like, it was phenomenal. I got chills. It was
wonderful. That's a fun experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, so booing people off stage—that's not funny.
That's not funny. Was that? That was it. Nobody else is booing.
That's not funny.
Oh boy, goodness. So with Larry out of town for the World Series of Comedy and our guest host filling in for Larry, Dino, you've brought your own segment to us today.
Not Dad's Corner,
and we've saved the tastiest for last. What do you have for us today?
Well, today. In the glam corner.
Glam corner.
We are talking drag. Yeah. So since we just had a fabulous TV themed burlesque show, I've gotten to play some really cool characters. I kind of tried to flex my improv skills as the Long Island medium, which was kind of interesting. Yes. That was one of those scenarios where I could have gone anyway, because this was just completely improv.
Wait, so the what's his name? That was Cross, right?
No, it was someone that I'd never seen ever in my life. No.
Yeah. That looked familiar.
No, I knew Cross was coming, so I just reminded him of the yes and everything else was completely different. I just told him, don't ever shoot me down. Just go with whatever I say. high school theater teacher in me came out, and I did have him playing back and forth with me, but no, what we said was completely
was great. And marvelous. The first character you played was
Mrs. Roper, which was one of my favorites, because who does not want to wear a muumuu for a whole show instead of wearing a corset? Yes. So it was quite interesting. Yes. And plus, you know, she was the first sexually frustrated cougar on television. Well, maybe not, but you know, that was really exciting to be able to wear a caftan on stage, you know. And then I also played Fiona Good from American Horror Story Coven.
I have a picture. You looked amazing.
Thank you. Yes. It was fun.
What stinks is I've never seen this show. I was like, what is this? I know this is something. I was like, I don't get this. I'm sorry.
There was there was an interesting, like, audible gasp when I think, like, 14 people finally clicked. Because I didn't use the theme song, because it could have been any, I guess, season or something. Yeah. And then once the promo song from Coven came on, everybody was like, oh, okay. So I think Ping, I was just that kid that was always in front of the television, and we learned drag a lot of times in these scenarios. So getting to play Mrs. Roper, I think, was definitely a,
that was awesome.
It was a milestone. I can mark that off my bucket list, luckily. But yes, so my question for the Glam Corner, if you had to cross-dress as a TV or movie character, which character would you choose?
Who's on your bucket list now?
You've been able to live the dream.
There are quite a few. I would have to say any character Toni Collette has ever played, probably. I think she's phenomenal, and I would have loved to play in Connie and Carla, first of all, but there's just something about a character that was just body and just no holds bar. Maybe Carol Burnett in her biography. No, I don't know. I just think something loudmouth, maybe Dorothy from Golden Girls, maybe too. That might work for me. Wow.
Dorothy from Golden Girls.
Yeah.
Oh, you did do a Golden Girls sort of.
I did a San Antonio Zumba Golden Girl in this show, which was, it was close to home, but no.
I got the sit and be fit sort of
it was sit and be fit. It was Zumba great. Gold. It was all of those things. So yeah, that's, those are some of my favorites, I think.
What? TV or movie character?
TV or movie character.
I just realized, just right now, the picture that you put up, Jess, is, I think, what I would do is this Peggy Bundy.
You would do Peggy Bundy?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm not even kidding. I said this earlier today at work that I would totally do Peggy. And I don't know why exactly. I don't know if it's just
all the chocolate you get to eat.
No, I think it's just the hair. And this is exactly what I do, which is hair. Like the hair, the leopard print, the skin tight pants, like that. I don't know why, but it just seems like I would, that's the character that I'd want to play. Like, I don't know if she really represents the most like amazing feminine woman out there, but yeah. I don't know. I think she has all of the, like, I don't know. She's so, to me, iconic in the way she looks, in the horrible way that she looks.
Yeah.
With, like, just like you said, giant hair, leopard print, everything skin tight.
Yeah.
Would I look that great in it? Probably not. Would I love to do a freaking burlesque routine to the theme song to Married with Children?
Love and marriage.
Absolutely, I would.
Yeah.
Could I wear heels? That's the big thing. That's my question also to you. So how hard is it to get to as good as you are? Cause you were moving up there, especially when you did the medium thing and you started doing the, you're like
the Roger Rabbit,
in like heels platform. Those
wedges. Yeah. It ain't easy.
I'm sure it ain't easy.
I wore maybe one pair of my Vincent Camuto shoes, the tan ones that I wore on stage are a little harder to walk in, but I keep in mind that I'm doing that. So I wear a lot of booties, things that are not that hard to walk in. And I could probably teach you, especially if you're all of a sudden this buff guy from the gym, I think.
What? No, that's something that I'm not even kidding. I think it's awesome that you, like, I'm like, I want to do that. It seems so much fun, but my whole scary part of it is the heels. The heels. How long did it take you to, like, learn to walk in heel or move in heels?
It was definitely hard. There are certain things that I'm not even as good as some of the girls that you will see performing, you know, in the bars on the strip. It took me quite a while, and I have an interesting story about the person who taught me how to walk in heels was a local artist by the name of Robert Ream, with Jumpstart Performance Company, who, shortly after, a couple of years had an accident. He was the theater teacher at Jefferson, and, he fell and is now a quadriplegic. Mm. So it's always a little special moment that we share together that he was the person who taught me how to walk heels in the last show that he did where he was able to walk. So, he at first didn't really remember. And when I told him it was a very cool moment. So, Robert Rehm, thank you so much for handing that over. But as you learn, you get used to it. And like I said, a lot, I wear big girl heels. I don't wear, you know, a lot of the stuff I wear have big, you know, chunky heels. It's not like some of these girls that can do flips and splits death drops and things like that.
I should be able to do the Roger Rabbit.
Yeah. No, and you know, it's funny, like Peg Bundy is also, I think, kind of a modern version of Mrs. Roper. She was that body redhead and leopard print, just a tighter frame that was kind of never fulfilled and bored and never got it from her husband. So I think there's something to this.
That's literally the first person that popped in my mind. And I just realized, like, wait, that is Peg Bundy. I would look much better, by the way,
than the picture that I put.
This picture.
So that's a shout out to Miss Sharon Needles from RuPaul's Drag Race doing her Peggy Bundy.
I would look much better.
All right. There you go, Miss Sharon. I'll tag you in that post.
Yes. We'll go head to head. Peg Bundy.
History has proven that me and drag is not a good idea. It's not like I haven't tried. I have. It's not a good idea. Trust me. There's a picture or two. Man. It's floating around online. It's not like it doesn't exist. It exists. It's online. It's on somebody's Facebook page. Somebody posted it. It's out there. It's horrifying. It's not
what
good.
What was this?
It was a nurse.
I remember that.
I did a nurse. I dressed up as a nurse and whoa, fuck. It's terrifying. It's terrifying.
You know, it depends.
Yeah.
It depends.
But it was funny. But, but to do a character, I think that would be fun and easy would just be Velma from Scooby-Doo. Because of just the comfort. The comfort is a very comfort thing. Also, I think it's very deceptive because from the back, I can like work the rear, you know, they might not like, oh, that Velma's got it going on.
She's big in the right places.
Yeah. So I think that would be fun and just comfortable.
You cool. Wear glasses.
Yeah. Cool wig, short wig, just not, you know. It'd be a good winter
sweater. I totally see you pulling that off, man.
Yeah, you know, now that this whole bearded drag thing is sort of taking on, I don't think you even need to shave. I think you'd be. I'll take you to the annex on Halloween night. I think you.
Well, that was the nurse. The nurse, I didn't shave. That was also the thing for the nurse thing. Is I didn't
long,
shave.
Wet,
it
was. Wig.
Yeah, that picture's terrible. It's out there.
You filled out that uniform real nice.
Oh boy, did I? Did I ever?
I can see that. We put that wig on your head. Yeah, I can pull that off.
Yeah, I can pull. I think
let's
that
do
would
Christmas.
Be my
I mean, let's do Halloween this year.
Yeah.
Jinkies.
Yeah, jinkies.
Deborah, what about you?
I would not do this, but you know what? You know who I would want to be? I would want to be the Samuel L. Jackson character, Jules Winfield from Pulp Fiction.
Absolutely.
I think that, you know, he's a great character. You know, he's a great character. The path of the righteous man, that speech, you know, we should definitely have shotguns, all of that. I would want to be that guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
You should do that.
That is such a bad idea.
But
when I saw the question this afternoon, that was the first thing I thought of. That's who I want to be.
Yes.
You know, yes.
No, you can totally do it. You should absolutely do it. Because one of my friends, we did that. I used to have long hair.
Yeah.
And this was when I was living in Colorado, and me and my roommate, we were Jules and Vern, and I had my long hair like Travolta, the bolo tie.
Oh, yeah.
And he's this Irish white guy, as white as you can get. But we made his facial hair look like it, and then we darkened it, and we just put an afro, and it was awesome! And
that does
it
sound
ruled!
Awesome.
And it was cool! And it was, so good. So.
Okay. Now I see
and
the
And what you should do is find a female friend that could do the long hair, and then both of you.
Give me the pair.
That's an excellent idea. Yeah, because you can't do it by yourself, really.
Totally.
There's no point, really.
Yeah. And then Jess will be, Velma, and I'll be Peg Bundy, and we'll just go friggin' rock the night on Halloween.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, good. We have a plan now. Excellent.
Yeah.
That's good.
It's terrifying. That picture's I can't.
Jess, you can pull it off. Have faith in yourself.
Oh, no, the film, I would be cool with it. That nurse thing was.
Did you ever see me, Dino, play Maddie, my character, Maddie?
That's a revelation.
No, what I'm actually. I need to find those pictures
because
that's a revelation. That's actually pretty
great. There's some pictures where I look like a Hispanic girl in San Antonio. Like, I'm not afraid to admit, like, I did a really good job.
It was pretty rock hard.
I need to find those pictures and post those for this because I looked good. Not gonna lie. Yeah. That was a good wig. Did a little makeup.
The dance was dead spot on. It was believable. That character came to life. That was real.
In Communico Go, I've dressed as a female many, many a time, whether it's an old abuelita or whether it's Mari, my favorite teenage girl character. But it's always fun going to the thrift store, shopping in the women's section, and having women look at you while you're like putting on this denim dress for the grandma character.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just like looking at you and you're just like, hey,
you learn which ones that you can go to and what times to go.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Just going to shop at Torrid at South Park Mall on a weekend afternoon is not the easiest trip, I'll have to say. But you go up to the Rim by La Quintera, they don't say better. No, they know.
Do you ever, so you've done that? Have you gone to...
Oh, yeah, I have to shop for stuff. And I think for burlesque, we've get some really good finds. Like, bless the big-shouldered girls that leave me their costumes because nice. I've found some really beautiful stuff. I've, like a teal bugle-beaded cocktail dress from the 80s with big shoulder pads.
And that's what I found is the shoulders is always the problem. Mm-hmm. It's the shoulders, you women and your small shoulders. Damn. Like, I'd be like, oh, this is totally going to fit. And then I'd put it on and then it would be very small on the shoulders. I'm like,
totally. Or like when we go shopping, there's only very few stores that carry up to a size 13. Nordstrom Rack is one, and there's one at the Quarry. And I remember last time I somehow struck gold with the boots that I wore for my coven routine, and I was trying them on, and you could in the corner there was this little girl. She's like, "Mami, mira, mami, mira, está poniendo los zapatos de mujer," and I'm just like. Hey. I was like, don't they look good? My shoes, exactly. And I don't know what the conversation was once they walked away, but yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
We got some answers from Facebook. Corey Dorsey says Frankfurter from Rocky Horror, although that's kind of a paradox in and of itself.
True. Yeah, this is true.
Shaggy says Charlize Theron in Monster. Good Lord.
Change my answer. I want to be that.
No.
No. I want to be Christina Applegate.
Ricci.
That's
Samantha,
it.
Samantha Lyons Rake says Daryl from The Walking Dead.
That's good.
Yeah.
Brian Benitez says Webigail from DuckTales.
Wow.
That's random.
Been holding on to that one for quite a while.
Probably.
For someone to ask this question.
That's a little too specific. That he's just, since a child, he's been waiting to be Webigail. Richard Morgan says, I guess thanks to Meryl Streep, I can give Margaret Thatcher as an answer. Brandy Dunnigan says, Don Draper.
Yeah.
I already think I'd make a handsome man, and then I could be drunk all the time and get lots of vagina.
Oh, wow, wow. Lots of pussy. All right. Yeah, do it, Don Draper.
And Jay LaFarge says, Phoebe from Friends.
That could work. Just get a guitar.
Do we have any?
Yeah, sure. Jen Wang, also known as Hannah Leave, says, I've already done that. I cross-played Kevin Tran from Supernatural a couple years ago, not to mention some anime characters. One day I'd like to be Loki or Aragorn. Jim Kane, local artist, said Rosalind Russell as Auntie Mame, of course, but I would need a private dressing room for costume changes.
Nice.
Yeah. Also, as we were talking, another one popped into my head. I would love to play Anna Nicole Smith in something.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be fun? With like 30 types of medicine in my blood, kind of.
You know, I like it.
Last days.
I like it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You could make that happen.
I think I could.
You like
my body?
Oh, that's right. That was a thing.
Yeah.
Shrimp. That's right. That happened to America.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a flashback.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's forget that happened. Thanks for bringing. No, but that was a very proud time in America.
It was.
Well, that was glamorous. That was a good addition to Glam Corner. Dad's Corner. I went Glam Corner.
Glam Corner. I like it.
Yeah. Larry, go ahead and stay where you are, buddy.
So, as you may or may not know, Dino, you know, but Deborah, As you may or may not know, Public Access is an educational program. And at the end of every installment, we like to ask ourselves and our listeners, what did we come to know?
Yes.
Yes. What little nugget of knowledge did you take and, you know, wriggle into your own brain that you pulled from all the wonderful things we put together?
All the wonderful knowledge that we were dropping today.
Yeah, all the wonderful things. So, Dino, what did you come to know?
I came to know that every stupid kid in our generation before us have a war wound from fucking lead pencils.
Yeah. That's terrifying.
It's fucking standardized testing thing. Let's just do away with it and our hands
will be. We need to take a picture of all three of our hands and post that.
Yes.
And then you can join in too. But
it's a different, yes.
Definitely. I came to know that Weevilow is not an actual...
It's not an animal.
It's not an animal. It's not like... It's a very not cool thing.
Yeah.
It just means we be loyal scouts.
Yeah.
We be loyal scouts.
That's what they said it was.
That's what it was.
We'll be loyal scouts. We'll be loyal scouts.
We be loyal scouts.
Same thing.
Not going to lie. That is the reason why I stopped. Because it's like cool animals. And then you give me a patch with corn on it. No! Stop it!
It's a W. Enough. It's not a corn.
It's a corn now.
Yeah, I definitely learned that Weebolo is not an animal. Yes. I'll take that to my grave.
That's good information.
Jess?
I came to know that after eating so much fire repeatedly...
Absolutely.
It is perhaps the equivalent of eating too much hot food. It's not... eating fire... So, eating that Thai food is like eating fire.
Yeah.
Kind of. If I ate it hot enough. So if I did the ghost chili challenge or something dumb like that.
Just don't completely inhale when the flame is in your mouth. Because that hurts a little bit more than Thai food.
So that's what I learned.
Very nice.
That's good. That's good.
Deborah?
I came to know that apparently I could be Jules Winfield. So that's...
Yes! Not only could you be...
But I
you should be.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I did not know that when I came in tonight. Now,
good. Yes. That is some good learning.
That's right. That's right.
Yes.
So you guys have other things? Would you like to promote anything?
Just add me on Instagram or on Twitter.
Insta.
At La Insta or the Twatter at Dino Fox with two X's. I'm also on Facebook. For now, we'll see how things go after Namegate is played out.
Namegate,
Many performers are actually losing access to their Facebook very quickly because they refuse to use their legal name. So, sign the petition that's going around because it affects artists in our neighborhood as well as our transgendered community, people whose born names actually symbolize a lot of hurt and a scary place to go back to.
Can we post that or can you share that?
Yeah, you sure can.
I didn't even know there was a thing.
There's a change.org petition. Some of the leading activists in drag have had formal meetings with Facebook, and it's definitely a mixed reason. And I think that they're definitely wanting everyone to go by their legal name because it's easier to track when someone does do something badly. But that's not necessarily always the best thing for everyone else. I mean, I think it's a link back to some places that are very dangerous for people that they've escaped from. And even those who don't absolutely identify with the name that was given to them, they are being forced to actually post that in order to regain access to something that we all use to drum up business, stay connected to, you know, producers and to writers and to, you know, it's a pretty big
Yeah, that
hit.
Just popped up like this past week, right? You just mentioned that. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, it just happened.
So yeah, so if we are still maybe we should just all go back to MySpace. I'm cool with that. I still remember HTML.
Wouldn't that be
code.
A weird thing and that's what sets everybody back?
Yeah. Or, like MySpace is going and reporting all the drag queens so that they come back to MySpace.
I reactivated my page, it's all there. There's still MySpace is still there.
Yeah. I have some hilarious photos from back then.
I have some bad poetry on there. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Deborah, anything? So once again, that show that
it's
you were talking about.
Telling San Antonio.
San Antonio.
At the Tobin, October 1st through the 5th. It's going to be amazing.
Cool. Nice. Can people follow you on Twitter, Facebook?
Yes. I'm on Twitter, Deborah What is it? At Deborah Martin EN, and I'm on Facebook. So
okay, awesome. Yeah. And you were talking earlier, it's also about a Walking Dead podcast. Yes. Are you going to be doing that?
I believe so. Yeah, we've had conversations about it, about when we're going to start it, what we're going to do. There's talk about maybe doing it on video. I don't know if we're going to actually do that. I don't know if people actually need to see that process. But, so we're kind of debating whether that's a good idea. But we will be podcasting.
Three weeks from now, it begins again.
Yes.
It is exciting. I don't have cable or a TV.
You can come over and watch it with me and Brant.
Ah!
There you go.
It's happening.
Yeah.
Watch it with me and Brant. I'll bring the fried chicken.
Yes. So, us guys, you can, thanks for listening to us on oneofus.net. We're one of y'all. You're one of us. That is awesome. And if you want to listen to older episodes, you can go to comediaagogo.com, where you can also find our cool movie Blood Cousins and Larry and Regan's comedic duos Big Red and Barbacoa, which is now available, and you can kind of like peruse over there, comediaagogo.com. You could get Larry and Regan's comedy special. I guarantee you will highly enjoy it. It's very funny. For all the people who don't live in San Antonio, now you can see this thing.
It's hilarious, and I'm not just saying that because I did it, but it's also the 5-year anniversary of it, which is, we did it 5 years ago. It was an amazing show at the Josephine Theater, which was really nice. It was really cool, and looking back, it's hilarious. You should go check it out.
It's a joint. I'll say this too, I like to add on, there was somebody who went to the show, and she bought the DVD, and her 12 or 13-year-old son is, like, addicted, and he's, like, y'all guys are, like, his favorite comedian, because when you're a kid and you get into comedy, you see these comedians, and it's usually, like, the first few that you stick to, and so, Larry and Regan are, like, his introduction to stand-up comedy, and he can quote, like, the entire special.
Just hilarious.
Which is awesome.
Wow. Yeah,
that's amazing. That's pretty amazing.
Warms the heart.
It's an awesome special. Now you can get it at comediagogo.com, which is awesome.
Sweet.
And Blood Cousins, our movie, which you should see. It's hilariously horrific. Children aren't murdered in that one. But stuff
boring.
Happens. Boring. It's pretty awesome. We have a show in the Blind Tiger with a comedian group, Stag from Austin, Cag and Stag, and I believe it's October 17th. It's a Friday night. I believe it's 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock. Stay tuned for details, but it's going to be an awesome, intimate basement dweller show.
Sketch comedy show. Haven't done in a while, so I'm excited about that. It should be fun.
Yeah, that's going to rock the house there. That's going to be awesome. And anything for you, Regan?
I don't do anything.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
At my going to just Australia or something.
That's not for me. People can't do. They can't go with me. I guess you can follow me on Facebook and see my travel adventures.
That's the other thing too. Facebook, public access, happy campers. Answer our questions. It's a lot of fun. We like reading your answers. That's a lot of fun. Thanks a bunch of guys for listening and putting your answers. So, Deborah, Dino, thank you so much for taking part in our show.
Thank you so much.
And Larry, good luck in the World Series of Comedy. And once again, this is Jess.
This is Regan.
And we'll fuck you later. We'll fuck you later.
Here comes the fuck! Here comes the fuck!